to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
The title of our Bible study tonight is The Call of Wisdom. The Call of Wisdom. Okay? And before we jump into the text, which will be Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 33, let me ask you a question. This may not apply to very many people, but have you ever had any regrets?
Yeah.
You're like, how many today, right? Yeah. What causes regrets? What is it that leads to regrets? Choices. What kind of choices? Bad choices, rash behavior. We make the wrong choices, right? Or we choose the wrong things. How and why do we make bad decisions? Choices. Because why, Carlton? Because we're flawed. Yeah, we're flawed. Why else do we make bad choices? We're what? We're impulsive. Okay? So we may have this impulse to do something that's not the best or wisest thing. We may even know it when we have the impulse, right? Sometimes we don't. Tishana? Okay, missed opportunities. Yeah. And sometimes you know what you're doing and sometimes you don't. It's like driving down the highway and you miss your exit. And you get past it, it's like, oh, I missed my exit. You know, sometimes we make decisions like that. Sometimes we see the sign for the exit, but we're so busy passing people on the left-hand side that we miss it. You know, made a wrong choice on which lane to be in. So, yeah, Lisa, what would you say? And then we'll go to, you know, Theo? Misinformation. Yes. We act in good faith. We try to do the right thing, but we didn't have the right information or didn't have all the information, and we make a choice. It's like, that was not the best choice, but it really wasn't my fault, except I made it. Yeah. Vita. Okay, taking matters into our own hands without consulting God. Okay, these are all great examples. So we're going to be talking about wisdom. And I would say that one of the main reasons, and maybe all the other reasons could be summed up under this, that we make bad choices, make bad decisions that leads to regrets, is because we ignore wisdom. Okay? So we're going to talk about wisdom tonight. As I said, the title of this sermon, the title of the study is The Call of Wisdom, because that's what we see described in this passage in Proverbs. What is the difference between knowledge and wisdom? How would you describe the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Okay. Knowledge is understanding of information, whereas wisdom is often based on life experiences. Okay. Any other thoughts about the difference between the two? Tishana? Okay, wisdom also has to do with application. You can know a lot of stuff, but not know how to apply it. So wisdom would have to do with application, which leads to experience or comes from experience. Experience is a very important component in wisdom. Something to add to that, Vita, or was that what you were going to say? That's what you were going to say. The application of knowledge and hopefully doing it in the right way. If it's not, we wouldn't call it wisdom. We'd call it foolishness. Yeah, Carlton, did you have a comment to add? Knowledge is what we learn in school and wisdom what we learn from life. There's a lot of definite truth there. How important is wisdom? Why? Why is wisdom so important? We want to make the right decisions and avoid the regrets, right? Yeah. I won't ask for any testimonies about how many people have lived lives with one regret after another, after another, after another. Nobody would like to live that way. Now, a couple more questions and we'll jump into the text. How does God's wisdom differ from worldly wisdom? He knows everything. And there's nobody in the world that knows everything. Bob. He's always right. Yeah, just like our wives, right? Anyway, forget I said that. Anyway. Nisa's nodding her head. Okay. Okay, true or false? True or false? Your attitude toward wisdom is just as important as wisdom itself. True. Why would that be true? That's really the summary of it right there, is that your attitude is going to determine, even if you've got the wisdom, if you've got the wrong attitude, you're not going to apply it, right? I mean, you could know You can have all knowledge. You can have all wisdom. But if your attitude is, but I don't need it, but I don't want it, it's not going to do you any good. All right. So all these factors, all these questions and answers have to do with what we see here in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. And in Proverbs, there's a couple of places, and this is the first one, where wisdom is talked about it's called personification. All right. Wisdom is pictured as a lady. All right. I don't know if that means that ladies have a lot more wisdom. Ladies are all saying, of course, but, anyway, in Proverbs chapter 1, wisdom is personified as a woman calling out to people in the streets, okay? Calling out to people in the streets. There's a number of principles, ideas, thoughts that we have about wisdom in this passage that are very, very practically applicable to just about every area of life. The first thing is this, if you're taking notes, wisdom calls loudly and publicly. Wisdom calls loudly and publicly. Publicly. Now, what does that mean? Well, we're going to read the verses first, but wisdom calls loudly and publicly. Proverbs 1, verses 20 and 21. It says, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. So, what are these verses telling us about wisdom? What thoughts come to your mind when you think of these verses connected with wisdom? It's readily available. I mean, where is it that wisdom's calling out? Out there in everyday life, out there in public, where the people are, okay? So, and that actually is a point I have down here. God's wisdom is accessible or available to anybody who's willing to listen, okay? It doesn't say that wisdom whispers. Listen real carefully. So she cries aloud. She's not trying to hide. Wisdom is available. All right. What areas of life does God's wisdom apply to? There you go. Every area. I think that's another reason why this picture is here. It's not just that wisdom can be heard in the temple. Wisdom can be heard in the schools. Wisdom can be heard with the rabbis or the people who bring great knowledge and wisdom to light. It's out there in the public square because it affects every single area of life. It's for everyday living, not just spiritual things. Even when we're talking about God's wisdom, it's very practical, okay? You can, for any significant area, issue, topic you have in life, God's word has wisdom for it, either particularly or at least in principle form that can be applied to particulars, okay? All right. Now, let me ask you a side aspect to this. In general, how do you feel about receiving advice? I hear some people laughing. It depends. It depends on where it's coming from, right? Depends on where it's coming. It depends on who it's coming from. It depends on whether you asked for it or not. Don't you love it when you got people that just feel totally free to give you all kinds of advice that you're not asking for? Especially if it's coming from people that it's like, you know, if they take their own advice. Anyway. So it depends on whether we need it or want it, who it's from, whether we've asked for it or not. But that leads to the second major point that I want to get to here, and that is that wisdom is rejected by some. To be honest with you, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, wisdom is rejected by all of us at times and in some places, some ways. It's something we have to go through life and continually learn from. But yet we know that wisdom in general is totally rejected by some. And they're talked about in verse 22. Wisdom again is speaking and says, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Now, there are three different groups of people here, and there's a lot of overlap. But these are very specific types of people, and they relate to wisdom, acceptance, and application of wisdom. First of all, you have the simple ones. Okay, how would you describe, or what do you think is meant here by the simple ones? It says, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? Any thoughts about who the simple ones are, or what type of people that's describing? Uneducated, yes, Vita. Mental deficiency, okay? That certainly would include that. But it wouldn't, I want to clarify that, it wouldn't include just those who have mental handicaps, But those who are deficient mentally, it could be because they just don't know. It's not because they're not capable of knowing. Okay? What'd you say, Lisa? The what?
Ignorant.
Yes, not in the pejorative sense. Not in the like, you ignorant person. You know. Yeah, they just don't know. Tashana? Okay. Well, that term could definitely apply to those type of people. But in this case, it's talking about their relationship with wisdom, not just their simple lifestyle. You see what I'm saying? All right. Can I see it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Theo?
Prideful.
Well, we're going to get to the prideful part. The prideful, I think, would apply more to the scoffers and the fools. But yeah, there could be some of that in the simple ones too. The simple ones are the people that are naive. They're lacking discernment. They're lacking understanding. They just don't know. To be honest with you, we all have been and we all are naive or simple in certain areas of life. I mean, there are certain areas of life where I'm sure that you may be an expert, or at least you think you are, okay? All right? But there are areas of life, if you have no knowledge or very little, no or little experience, that's an area where you would be considered naive or simple, inexperienced, unknowledgeable about that particular area. All right? And we're all born that way. I mean, we're not born with any kind of knowledge. We have to learn as we go along. I think a really good example of this in my life has to do with Medicare. I'm turning 65 in June. And so over the last year, and especially the last 3 or 4 months, I have been doing a lot of research about Medicare, because I didn't know nothing other than you get it when you turn 65. And the more I learned that there was to learn. And so I was very naive, simple, whatever about that area. But now I know a lot about it. I'm not saying I'm an expert, not saying I know everything, but I know a lot about it. And I feel like I can make a wise decision for me when it comes time to do that. Okay. So that's what the simple ones are. But wisdom is saying, how long do you love being simple? In other words, some people just love not having the responsibility of seeking wisdom. Okay. It kind of gives them excuse to kind of float through life. All right. And then it talks about the scoffers. The scoffers. Who's a scoffer? What does a scoffer mean? Someone who mocks, yes. Okay? Someone who scorns. These are people who not only reject wisdom, but they ridicule people who follow it. All right? We see a lot of that in our world, and it's always been true of people who choose to follow Jesus and who choose to say God is the ultimate source of wisdom. And in fact, the Bible says over and over again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that proper respect and awe and recognition of God being who he is. And he knows what's right and what's good and what's best. And I'm going to do what he says. There's plenty of people out there that are totally ignoring that. But there's also plenty of people that would scoff. So these people are a little bit more aggressive about rejecting wisdom. And then we have those that are the fools. Now, calling somebody a fool in our culture, in our society, is basically a thing about you just, you know, you're stupid, you whatever, you're dumb, you do stupid things, that kind of thing. In the Bible, the term fool is someone who would do the wrong things or reject the right things, but primarily because they choose to reject God. Okay? That's why the Bible says in several places, the fool has said in their heart, there is no God. Oh, it just happens that today is April Fool's Day, isn't it? Oh, all right. Anyway. Oh, that was yesterday. Okay, I'm on top of it. Okay, so fools would be those who despise instruction, refuse correction. These are the ones who would often believe that they know the best, okay? And sometimes it includes, in fact, many times it includes people who know the difference between right and wrong, what's best, but they don't care. It's like, I know I should, but I don't care. I'm going to do what I want. If there's any consequences, I'll deal with it later. That's why we call people like, you're foolish. You're doing this and you know what the result's probably going to be. And they're like, well, I'll take that chance that maybe that's not going to happen. You know, I'm the exception or whatever, okay? So we got these three different categories, and wisdom is calling out to them, how long will you turn around, okay? Why do people reject wisdom? Somebody mentioned one of the reasons a little while ago, pride, right? We don't want people to know that we don't know. We don't want people to think that we don't know what to do or we're not making the right decisions. But what are some other reasons why people reject wisdom or reject God's wisdom, either in general or specifically? Amanda? Because they think they know it already. They think they know it all, right? I want to ask if any of you know any know-it-alls in your 20s. That's been so long ago for me, I can't remember. But all right. Why else do people reject wisdom? Fear. Okay, we're afraid if we really seek wisdom, what we might be asked to do or how we should be acting or whatever. Tashana? Okay, it's different from your upbringing or what you grew up to know. And to go along with that, if there was somebody else in our life that was meaningful or we saw as authoritative and they told us one thing and we hear this other, it's like we may resist receiving this new knowledge, this new wisdom, because that goes totally against what the way I was raised or what somebody I respect taught me. That's a good thought. I hadn't had that in my notes. So, alrighty. A lot of reasons. Pride, stubbornness, self-reliance. We don't want to believe that we have to be reliant on somebody or something else to know what's the right thing is to do or to do the right thing. I have this in my notes. One of the enemies of our wisdom is our passions. In other words, I want. Let me give you a couple of examples. I know what would be wise, but I want. Okay, I know what experts say, but I want. I know what's healthy, but I want. We could all fill in the blank with lots of stuff right there, right? I know I shouldn't put that on credit, but I want. I know I shouldn't be involved in that relationship, but I want. I know I shouldn't go there, but I want. I know I shouldn't say that, but I want. See, our passions can really get us in trouble because our passions can override wisdom so quickly if we're not really, really careful. The next or third major point that I want to draw from this passage. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Mr. Norris. Yes, people are very close-minded. And in general or in specific areas. Yep. Okay, the third major point here is it's never too late to take advantage of wisdom. That's good news. It's never too late. Now, I will tell you, the longer you wait, the more problems you're going to have. We're going to see that yet in this passage, but it's never too late. And we see that in the in wisdom's comment in verse 23. Wisdom says, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Whereas, if you've gone down the wrong road, if you'll wake up and pay attention, turn around, I can get you back on the right path, to kind of paraphrase it, okay? Wisdom can correct us. And to be honest with you, nobody gets it right from the very beginning, no matter how open-minded we are to wisdom, no matter how much we love the Lord and say, Lord, I want to do it your way, whatever, we're still going to get it wrong sometimes, all right? And so we need the opportunity to be corrected and to be guided and to go into a new way of thinking. And so if people will turn to wisdom when they've not been doing so, they can receive divine insight and understanding. I was thinking about this today. I was thinking, it's sort of like having a GPS. You know, you got a GPS in your car, and it's telling you where to turn, what to do, where you're going. And by the way, this is an incomplete illustration because GPSs are not always right. Although there have been plenty of times I thought it wasn't right, and I found out later it was. Okay. But if you're following the GPS and say, no, I know a better way, and we go, and then, oh, wait a minute. GPS knew that they shut that street down or whatever. What's it going to tell you? Recalculating, turn around here, do a U-turn, turn left, whatever. And if we start listening and doing, if it's right, it's going to get us back on the path, right? And we may have to go the long way around. It may take us longer. It'll get us back on the right path. And wisdom will do the same thing. But that raises another big question. Where do we get God's wisdom? From his word. Where else can we get God's wisdom from? Wise people. Okay, so that gives you permission to be a wise guy. All right. But let me just throw this out. You know, we should make it a goal not just to be wise so we can live the best life that God has for us, but so we can help other people do the same thing. But we all do need to keep in mind that we don't always need to give our opinion about wisdom about things if it's not welcome, because it may not do any good. But we also need to be open to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. If he says, listen, you need to talk to that person. They may not be really open to it right away, but if you do it in love and tact, it'll give them something to think about. So we got to maintain that balance to not stick ourselves into a situation we're not welcome in, but yet to be willing to be used by the Holy Spirit to maybe encourage and rebuke lovingly, you know. What'd you say, Lisa? Oh, yeah, like your children. Yeah, every parent's goal is we want them to be independent. We don't want them living in our house when they're in their 30s. But yet sometimes we don't want to let them go either. So we got to get that balance. Vita, you had your hand up. Yeah, so we pray for wisdom for the person and for ourselves. Lori. Yeah, people that have been wounded and been hurt, especially by authority figures and people maybe respected, that can be a big barrier to wisdom too. That fits into the whole mix here too. Okay, so that's a good point. What is the tone in which this is being said? At first it seems very aggressive in your face, but then there's kind of a backup. If you just listen to me, I'm going to help you. If you think that's a grace, I'll wait till we get to the next couple of verses because it gets even more so. But before we get there, let me just throw another thing out there. We can also get wisdom, including God's wisdom, from life experiences, going back to what Ezekiel said. Experiences, you know. We all learn from experience, okay? If you're going to learn from bad experience, learn from somebody else's bad experience, not your own, okay? So anyway, all right. So we need to actively listen to wisdom rather than just ignore it. The next major point here is rejecting wisdom has consequences. Rejecting wisdom has consequences, all right? Okay, here's what I was talking about, Lori. It's going to get more aggressive right now in verse 24. Wisdom saying, because I've called and you've refused to listen, and I've stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you've ignored all my counsel and would not have none of my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my repute. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. That doesn't sound like God to me. Verse 24, because I called you wouldn't listen, stretched out my hand, you didn't heed, because you ignored, because you wouldn't have any of my reproof, I'm going to laugh at your calamity, mock at you when terror strikes you. How do we justify that? That doesn't sound like God, does it? Well, the point is, it's not God. That's not God speaking. That's God's word. Who is it that's speaking? Well, Solomon's writing it down, but in this passage, who is speaking? Wisdom. What is wisdom? The way life works. And that's not an official definition. This is not saying this is God's attitude. This is not even saying it's Solomon's attitude who's writing these Proverbs down. This is saying the way life works, if you ignore wisdom, you're going to get hurt. Okay? And it's not just going to disappear. It's supposed to be a very graphic way to get their attention to say, listen, this wisdom thing is important because if you don't follow wisdom, you're gonna get hurt. Okay? There's gonna be destruction. There's gonna be disaster. Yeah, I mean, it compares it to terror. It compares it to calamity. Compares it to a great storm. You think of a hurricane, all right? A whirlwind, a tornado that tears through the neighborhood. This is what it's like when you ignore wisdom, okay? God's attitude's not like that. It's not that God delights when we mess up. In fact, we're going to come back to that, all right? When we try to live a life in a way that life was not intended to work, there would be a price to pay. Rejecting wisdom leads to disaster. I just mentioned the things. Can you think of some examples of areas in life where if you don't use wisdom, you're going to experience disaster? Yeah, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is death. There's a lot in the scriptures about that. Don't build your house on sand. Build it on solid rock. Great teaching from Jesus on that. Do we see this happen in relationships? If we don't use wisdom in relationships, do we ever experience pain? Sure we do. How about finances? Yeah? How about your health? So the answer goes back to what we said at the beginning. What does wisdom apply to? Every area of life, in any area of life where we don't use wisdom, we can experience pain. And that's behind something I say a lot, okay? If you've been around me long at all, you've heard me say it more than one time. God is not in heaven looking down on people saying, what can I do to ruin their fun? Let me give them a whole bunch of rules and regulations and things they don't want to do and tell them to not do things that they want to do because I want to ruin their fun. He says, I know how life works. That may feel good for now, That may be what you want to do, but it's going to hurt you. It's going to bite you. Follow wisdom. Okay? The negative consequences of rejecting wisdom often cannot be corrected, at least not easily. We see that in verse 28. I read it, but then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but I will not find me. That is not God talking. We can call on God, he will answer. We can seek him and find him. What this is saying is if you've ignored wisdom, you get yourself so deeply into a hole that when you try to go back to wisdom, sometimes it's too late. Or sometimes it's so far down the road, it's going to be a hard road to get back to where you need to be. Okay, that's what it's talking about. Again, you see that example in relationships. If you see two people that deeply love each other or whatever, whether you're talking about marriage, friendship, or whatever, and somebody does something that's not wise and deeply wounds and hurts that other person, there can be healing in that relationship. Sometimes there won't be healing in that relationship. And no matter how much healing's there, there can still sometimes be pain. And even if God brings a full healing through supernatural means, it's going to take some time. And that's really what it's meant to communicate here. That's true with finances. If you really mess up your finances, unless you inherit a bunch of money or rob a bank or something like that, it's going to take you a while to get back out of the mess, right? Same thing with all the other areas. Our health. I think you would be in a mess if you robbed a bank, yeah. Especially if you got caught. If you totally destroy your health, you can come back around, but it's going to take some time. And there may be some health consequences that are just going to be there the rest of your life. Talk about people that deal with ongoing medical issues. I mean, some just come on us because we're human and we live in a fallen world and genetics and all that. But certain medical issues that are because of choices that we make, some can be recovered from, some will not be. Wisdom, okay? That's right. And that leads right to my next. Seeking God in crises is not the best thing. Seeking God before the crises. You know, start practicing wisdom before, and then hopefully the crises either won't come or a crisis that comes from the outside, you're better prepared to deal with it. Yes. Were you wanting to say something, Vita, or are you just resting your hand that way? Mm-hmm. That's right. That's a very good point. We need to teach the knowledge, too. We need to have the knowledge, too, because the wisdom is based on the knowledge. And, you know, you can teach knowledge to other people, children or whoever, and you can, to a degree, teach wisdom, but they have to apply it themselves. Now, let me just make it very clear. Does God ignore us when we seek him during crises? No. Does God ignore us when we seek him during crises of our own making? We did it to ourselves. No. I want to make that very clear. This is not God talking. This is not God's attitude. This is just saying this is the way life works. If you ignore wisdom, you're going to get hurt. And don't expect wisdom to say, oh, I'm so sorry. I'll take everything back. Okay? Because what it really comes down to is a biblical principle that we actually even see out there in the world. You reap what you sow. The world may call it karma. What goes around comes around. You know, the way you treat people is often the way you're going to be treated back. All that kind of stuff. But the Bible puts it, you reap what you sow. Galatians 6 talks about that too. All right? You know, it's interesting to me that people make choices. And it's sad. It's really sad. And we've all done it. We make choices ignoring what God tells us to do. Then we get into a crisis. God, deliver me, God. And some people even shake their fist. God, why'd you let that happen? I meant to look it up and put it in my notes and I forgot. But there's a proverb that says that people rail at God when it was their own choices that got them where they're at. God does everything he can to try to keep us. It's like the whole idea of God sending people to hell. God doesn't send people to hell. He's done everything he can through the death of Jesus Christ to prevent them from going and giving them warnings, giving them opportunities, but they choose to keep going down the wrong path. And the same thing is true in the simpler areas of life when we're talking about wisdom. So we reap what we sow, all right? And sometimes people wait until after the calamity happens to say, I got to get things right. Now, that's still a great place to be. It's better than just saying, it's too late. I'm just going to keep on pursuing down the wrong path. Okay, I'm just going to keep going down the wrong path. You know what? Even if we've gotten ourselves in a situation where we are broken, where we are in pain, where things are not where we want them to be in life, our relationships are a wreck, God's not going to turn us aside. And he will help us, but it's going to be some work. Okay? It's going to be some work. So, unfortunately, many times people want a simple answer. They spend maybe months or years getting themselves into a pit, and they want to have a simple prayer or just the right book to read, or just the right person to talk to, and after an hour's consultation, everything's going to work out. Probably as much time as it took you to get into the problem is going to take you twice as much to get it out, just to throw those figures out there, okay? God can do the miraculous. Sometimes God does. But the way sin works, the way foolishness works, the way ignoring God works is when you dig yourself into a hole, it's going to take you a lot longer to get back out. God wants to help you out, but it's going to take you a while. So the good news is God will always, always take us back. Think of the prodigal son. He'll forgive us. He'll begin to help us. The forgiveness of God is always available. The compassion of God is always there, but there's always consequence. Even the prodigal son was restored to relationship, but he had still lost his inheritance. Okay. Yeah, Norris. Oh, don't talk about speed limits. People don't like that. The speed limit says 75. It's 70, Norris. He sees 75. You are ruffling some feathers, Norris, talking about speed. It's a great illustration, though. You break the law, the speedy law, and you got consequences. Yep, you got it. I tell you, the key to all this is nestled right there in verse 29. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. This is not talking primarily about, I'm afraid God's going to zap me if I don't do the right thing. It's, I have respect and honor for God as God. He created me. He knows what's best for me. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. That's what wisdom is. Because if I do that, he's going to guide me into the right path. Okay? So it's best to seek and apply wisdom before trouble comes to help us avoid trouble. The last main thought is following God's wisdom leads to blessing. Verse 33. Following God's wisdom leads to blessing. But whoever, well, let me go back to 32 for the contrast. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me, God's wisdom, will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Now, is this God's promise of a trouble-free life? No. As long as we live in a sinful, fallen, evil world with our own sinful flesh we have to wrestle with and our own sinful tendencies that we sometimes give into, we're still going to deal with problems. But what Proverbs is saying here, if we follow God's wisdom, we are much more likely to experience God's blessing. We're much more likely to avoid trouble and heartache and pain because God really does know the way things work. He created it. God wrote the owner's manual, okay? And there are so many blessings that come from following God's wisdom. In general, everything will go better because God knows what works. And God can even bring good out of bad. I said this so many times. One of my top 10 Bible verses, Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. There's going to be bad things that come, but God will bring good out of it as we follow him and his wisdom. And obviously, eternally, it all turns out a whole lot better, doesn't it? When we get into eternity, then we got problem-free. No more sin, sorrow, sickness, death, pain, any of that, okay? So those who listen to wisdom will live securely without fear of disaster. And that's true too. Things can come, but we got our faith and trust in God. God's going to take care of us. He may let us go through some things, but God's there with us. Yeah. And God's wisdom can bring peace, confidence, and divine protection. So as we wrap this all up, some key takeaways from this passage. Wisdom calls to all, but it requires a response. Okay. How are we going to respond to wisdom? And rejecting wisdom leads to disaster, while listening brings security and peace. And it's wisdom to seek wisdom before a crisis comes, not when we're in trouble. Now, if we're in trouble, it's still wisdom to seek wisdom. Okay, don't say, too late now, I give up. No, get back on track. Follow that GPS back onto the track. Let me ask you a couple of questions, okay? In what areas of life do I need to seek wisdom more intentionally? And I'm not asking you to tell me what areas I need. I'm just saying, ask yourself that question, okay? Ask yourself that question. In what areas of life do I need to seek wisdom more intentionally? And something to narrow that down, are there areas where I'm deliberately ignoring God's wisdom? Is there any area of your life where you know what God says about it and you're just ignoring it? And a lot of times it goes back to our desires. I want. I know God says this about that. Relationship, finances, whatever it might be, job. I know that this is the right thing to do. I know this is the way I should act, how I should talk, and the attitude I should have. But where are we deliberately ignoring God's wisdom? And what is one practical step I can take this week to seek and apply godly wisdom in an area pertinent to me? So, I mean, it should be our goal that we want to seek God's wisdom in every area of life. And we can say, yeah, I'm going to do that from now in every area of life. And that's a great foundation. But if we really want to apply this tonight, think of something specific. It's like, okay, God, what is one area I can do this, starting today, tomorrow, whatever, to pursue your wisdom in whatever area that I'm not really doing that the way I should right now, today? Okay? So the good news is God's with us in all this. We need to ask God to help us. Change our heart. Give us a desire to seek wisdom, to give us discernment. You know, we mentioned toward the beginning, sometimes we make the wrong choices because we don't know any better. So it's like, Lord, help me not to, a good example in today's, help me not to fall for the scams, the devil's scams. You know, give me wisdom. Help me to, you know, give me that inner sense that says, check this out, you know, to not believe everything I hear, not listen to the enemy. And then the courage to turn from foolishness and to do what's right, even though our flesh says, no, I think I'd rather do that. You know? Yeah, Amanda. The first question, in what areas of life do I need to seek wisdom more intentionally? Yeah. Yeah. Any other comments? We've got about 2 or 3 minutes left. Any other comments or questions before we wrap this up? Vita. Yeah. So seeking God's wisdom is a key to experiencing inner peace. We can pray for peace all day long, but we just ignore what God tells us to do and we're not going to have it. Yeah. Any other thoughts or comments before we wrap it up? Yeah, that's what Tashana was saying too. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's just like English language. You have a word, you can have several definitions of it. And that is true of the word for simple here. It doesn't mean just having a simple lifestyle or something. It's talking about people who just don't know, you know, and they don't seem to be interested in knowing, you know. Okay. All right, well, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this time we've had together in your word, looking at wisdom. And God, what I know, the people in this room, Lord God, we all probably desire to do what's wise because we want the results. But we all probably struggle with certain areas where we don't always follow wisdom because of our desires. Father, I pray that it would be our heart that would say, God, I want to do what's right. Not just because it's right, but because I trust you. Because I fear you. Not because I'm afraid you're going to zap me, but because I respect you. I have awe for you. You are my creator. You know what's best. You know what's right. And if you tell me this is the way it should be or the way something shouldn't be, that you know what you're talking about. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord God. Help us to have discernment. God, give us revelation if it's needed. Lord, when the enemy's trying to lie to us and deceive us, whether through another person or spiritually speaking, so that we'll choose an unwise path, help us to recognize that, Lord God. Give us discernment. Lord, help us to know what the best decisions are. And when we don't know, help us to seek you through your word, through other godly people, Lord. And I just pray that you'd help us, especially in those times when we know what the wise thing is to do, what the right thing is to do, but we just don't want to do it. Or it's too hard. And so it's such a temptation to not do it. So help us, Lord God, to know, to discover, and to walk in wisdom. And God, bring healing to the areas of our life where we're experiencing pain because we've not always done that. Whether it's a relationship, whether it's finances, whether it's attitudes, whatever it might be, Lord God. And Father, I thank you that you never turn your backs on us. You always welcome us to come home. You always are willing to help us with whatever we're facing, Lord God. You may let us suffer the consequences because we got to learn, we got to grow, and that's the way life goes, but you're always there. And Father, we thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.